Welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. Today is Thursday, March 29th. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me I have our prophet Hoos as always. What's going on, Hoos?
What is up, Chris? What's going on?
Oh, having a great day, because, you know, we have a very special guest here. It is Pat Fitzmaurice, contributor to 4for4 and The Football Girl and Sports Illustrated. How's it going, Pat?
Good, Chris and Hoos. How are you guys?
Very good. Very glad to have you on. You're very good at what you do. We're going to dissect some of what you do. It's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, and Hoos wasn't lying about that. Pat is the number two fantasy football analyst for the 2017 season in season. So this is certainly a guy that you guys need to follow. His rankings are just top notch. And you can follow him on Twitter at Fitz_FF. Where else can they get you, Pat?
I am at The Football Girl. That's where I do my rankings every week and contribute occasional content. So pretty soon after the draft and the mini camps, I'll be digging into the team previews, and yeah, man, really looking forward. This is the heart of the off season. All this free agent movement, the draft coming up. This is a good time.
It's really kind of a dead season these next couple weeks, though. The free agency, it's still going on.
But, there are no dead seasons. There are no dead weeks. There are no dead weeks.
I mean, there's been weeks last off season where we were like, "What are we going to talk about this week?"
You know, it's nothing rumor mill season.
Yeah, so there we go.
It's time rumors start flying. Got to sort the BS from the possible nuggets of truth. Yeah.
We do have some coach speak I want to bring up today, too. So that's good timing. Anyways, we're going to kick it off with our first question. So as of today, March 29th, Pat, who is your biggest bust for the 2018 season? And obviously this can change because we're still 5 months away. But who's your biggest bust as of right now?
I mean, right now, if we were doing See, it's not really fair to say Jerick McKinnon just because I'm so convinced that the 49ers are going to be drafting a running back. I'm talking about like MFL 10s right now. Everyone is zooming Jerick McKinnon up the list thinking he's going to be their featured back when I think it's kind of inevitable that they're going to add someone. You know, I'll say Kenyon Drake because right now I think everyone is, you know, even with the Frank Gore signing, I think people are just kind of sloughing that off as thinking he's just going to be a pure backup in his twilight years to Drake. And, you know, Drake played so well down the stretch last year, but Adam Gase he's on record as saying that he wants to be multiple with his running backs. He wants different guys, different looks, different skill sets, and he wants to deploy more than one guys. And we kind of saw that early in his tenure with, you know, not really committing to Jay Ajayi. You know, at one point he was running out like a four-man running back combo with Damian Williams, Drake, Ajayi. I forget there were some other bizarre characters in
Arian Foster. And
I mean, it was the Star Wars cantina running back for the Dolphins. And so, you know, people can't count on Drake getting a big workload this year, even though they think he might be entitled to it after last year.
I love it. I almost had him as my pick in the show notes, so I'm glad he got in there. Hoos, what about you?
Man, that hurts me that you say Drake. I definitely like him. You know, I think he's going to get a fair amount of work, though. Carlos Hyde, though. I just, you know, him coming to the Browns, I can see him kind of just being a backup and Duke Johnson kind of being more that guy that Todd Haley likes. I wouldn't be surprised if he was a top 10 back last year. I just don't see it this year. Obviously, it's a bit obvious one, but I don't know. You got some people that are still going to take him and maybe believe that he's going to split the workload, and I think we might be, you know, we might see even less than that.
Yeah, you brought up something I liked on last week's show, actually, where you said it's entirely possible that Duke becomes the feature back. He's so talented.
Yeah, I mean, he fits the mold of what Todd Haley likes to do a little bit more. You can kind of just leave him out there, and he can run.
What round do you think what round would you take him at?
Hyde, probably maybe after the seventh or so.
Whoa.
No, he's not going to be on my team.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the draft at running back, and that's going to have a big bearing on it. If they don't draft one of the top six or seven guys, if they don't take Barkley, if they don't take Geis, Chubb, Sony Michel, Ronald Jones, Rashad Penny, maybe fifth for Hyde, sixth. I mean, I like him. I think he's a pretty talented back, and I think he showed that when healthy at you know, with the 49ers, but
for sure.
Health is the problem with him.
Right.
And yeah. Especially foot problems. That's kind of something you don't want. I'd almost rather have a guy with a torn ACL than right. A foot problem. Like the foot problems come back. And, you know, that's the built-in risk. I do believe in the talent, but the injuries and, you know, now he's going to a pretty, you know, still a rebuilding team that's not going to get into the red zone as often. And even fifth would be aggressive. So, you know, I could get on board with who's with like 6-7.
What about Kenyon Drake? Going back to him, what round did you take him in?
Yeah, he is going to get touches. There's no question. He's going to be part of that committee. But again, another team that's probably not going to be that great a team overall. So looking at limited touchdown opportunities, sharing work, to me, again, like a sixth or maybe like a sixth round pick, which means I'm never going to get him because he's going to go earlier than that in every draft.
Way early.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair, though, because, I mean, you may have people taking him where as early as fourth, maybe, you know, fifth. But that, so six for you, that's fair because, you know, you're not really high on them. So, yeah, that's pretty fair.
Yeah, I mean, I could even see him going in the third if they don't add a top back in this draft.
Yeah,
it's just Gore Drake and maybe, you know, some, I don't know, some satellite back, some Ito Smith type guy that they get in the seventh round this year.
Yeah, and you know these Miami guys, they like to hype up their guys, so who knows? He might go second.
Yeah, last year they were all supposed to have like 300 touchdowns each, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, sixth round, though, like at that point, you're drafting him to be your RB3 or RB4, most likely. So that's not too bad at all. My biggest bust for the 2018 season, as of right now, and I was looking at his ADP, and that's Derrick Henry. And because I've brought this up before, Deion right. Lewis, if he stays healthy all 16 games, is going to outscore Derrick Henry in every single scoring format. So I'm not he's going at the end of the third round right now. I'm assuming it's probably going to keep dropping a little bit because of Deion Lewis being there, and right. maybe Deion Lewis rises a little bit more. But Henry feels more like a sixth or a seventh round pick once again. To me, just Deion Lewis there just makes me want no part of Henry as my starting running back.
Yeah, that's I can get on board with that. I think people were hoping that the dispatching of DeMarco Murray was going to open the door for Henry. And, you know, Lewis coming in kind of puts Henry right back where he was last year. And he was right. not a fun guy to own.
No.
In leagues last year. Like, you wanted to start him every week, and then every week he would wind up
cost
with,
you.
Like, the 40 yards on 9 carries, and you know, he was definitely a tough own last year. And yeah, Lewis is probably going to play less than half the snaps, but he's probably going to be way more productive in a per snap, per touch basis than Henry will. And you know, having to share that much work with someone else is really going to cap Henry's value. I mean, right now I've got him just inside the top 20 at running back. But, you know, depending on the landing spots for some of these rookies, guys like Michelle and Chubb and Penny,
right.
You know, I'm probably going to have Henry out of the top 20 by the time draft season hits, and maybe out of the top 25.
Yeah, that's tough for his dynasty owners. And, I mean, you could totally see him maybe getting some rushing touchdowns. But at the same time, I mean, Deion Lewis had 6 last year. I don't have in front of me, you know, exactly how far out he was, but the fact that he had 6 rushing touchdowns, you know, I mean, they have the Patriot as his coach. So you could see some of the same here. So I'm definitely on board with you, Chris.
All right, that's going to do it. So we have Kenyon Drake, Carlos Hyde, and Derrick Henry. Let's go ahead and get into the news. All right, kicking it off, the NFL has released their rule changes for the 2018 season, and some of the significant ones. They have once again redefined what a catch is. So, yes, Cowboys fans has caught it. Yes, Patriots fans, you should have lost due to Jesse James and Austin Seferian Jenkins last year. Control of the ball, 2 feet or another body part down, and a football move, such as a third step, reaching or extending for the line to gain, or the ability to perform such an act. So, they basically got rid of the going to the ground part.
Yeah, so this is great for fantasy, right? I mean, Thielen scores that touchdown. Jesse James, Eifert scores that touchdown. All these, you know, crazy ones that were, oh, come on about, you know, or maybe you're all come on in the other way, you know, saying yes, you know, you're happy that they didn't score. But yeah, I think this should be great for fantasy points, at least, fantasy teams.
I like the clarity. You know, I think the football move thing is still going to be a hang up in the interpretation of that, but this will help. The going to the ground thing was that just got messy last year.
Yeah, but at least they did specify a couple examples of a football move.
Sure, sure. So
they could have left that out, and then it still would have been completely open to interpretation. But I do like getting rid of that part of the rule, so I think that's going to be better for fantasy in general. They also eliminated the requirement that if a team scores a game-winning touchdown at the end of regulation, then they don't have to kick the extra point or go for two. So this the most recent example of people just storming onto the field would have been the Stephon Diggs touchdown catch in the playoffs.
That one's going to be big in the sports books, but really is inconsequential to results.
Right. Now, I'm wondering, so does that mean that they can choose to just kneel the ball? Because that's not a kick or going for two. Because there has to be a situation where, because if they're up by one with that touchdown but no time is left, technically, it on a blocked kick, a team can pick up that block and run it back and score 2 points. So if they're within 1 or 2 points, maybe they have to make a call there. They have to kneel the ball.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, any other time, you probably just leave it up to football, right? I mean, just nature of the game, however the game plays out.
Yeah, and if they were up by three, then there's no need to do anything because there's no way the other team can score more than two.
That's but you're an robbing
them
thought.
Of that. You're robbing them of that opportunity.
This is the most exciting stuff of the offseason, the rules.
Chances are teams would kneel it anyway, but there's still a chance of a fumble.
Yes. And Chris is so much into this because he's a professor, if anybody wants to know. No, it's true, and this is all speculation, and this is good stuff because we're going to see all play out, and we'll be complaining about all those things then, or, like, oh, I wish they would have clarified this or whatever. So I think they do this on purpose just so they can kind of leave room for, whatever else they want to do.
And it doesn't say that the teams will not be doing that. It just eliminated the requirement that they had to. So I think that was good, though. The other significant rule, the NFL, they just passed a rule stating that lowering the head, any player lowering your head to initiate contact is a 15-yard penalty. Which means that NFL teams are going to have to double their roster sizes with all these players getting ejected for lowering their heads every single play.
More lower leg injuries.
This is just going to be such a mess. I mean, we criticize running backs who run with too upright a style, but if you are the laws of motion, if you're going forward and bending at the waist at all, I mean, your head is the leading part of your body. And it just seems like something that's going to be so subjective and open to interpretation by the referees. And we've seen pretty much the more leeway you get on referees to make calls, let things go, or choose to enforce something, like that's when you get into trouble with the rules. And this just screams like it's going to be trouble. And the different interpretations by different officiating crews are going to open so many cans of worms this season. It's going to be ridiculous.
I saw this theory that this is just allowing the NFL to have more commercial time to get more money.
it could be true. I mean, it's a good idea on their part if that is.
Yeah, so it's a 15-yard penalty and I think a warning, but if it happens repeatedly or if it's especially vicious, then they can eject for it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're just replacing. They're taking away one messy rule with the catch. And they're adding another one.
Exactly.
So yeah.
They got to keep it fair.
Maybe it'll be kind of like what baseball did when they put in the kind of a pitch clock, but they didn't enforce the pitch clock. Maybe they're not going to enforce every single time a player lowers their head.
Yeah, they would have to.
It's the equivalent of the PGA Tour with its rule about hitting a shot within a certain amount of time that they absolutely never enforce. Hopefully it's one of those that they kind of turn the other way on, because otherwise I think we're going to see 10 flags a game. If it's egregious, by all means, if it's a guy spearing a guy, throw that flag. But
100%.
We just see 10 incidents of accidental helmet-to-helmet contact a game, and if they're going to be throwing flags every time, oh my God, games are going to go 4 hours.
All right, let's move on here. Bills general manager Brandon Bean said that the hotel incident that happened a week ago with Zay Jones is not going to affect his future with the team. I'm not sure if that's coach speak or not. I haven't heard any other news on Zay Jones since he was in the psychiatric ward of the prison. What about you, Pat?
I have not heard any updates on this. I was kind of mildly optimistic for him this season, just because it seems like he's going to be in a role where he can produce and get some targets. But I'm anxious to see what else surfaces with this whole thing, or whether it's the last we hear of it until training camp.
We're just going to pass the facts that coach speak here, not going to affect his future with the team. Ben Watson, though, in the news today, back to the Saints on a one-year deal. If you think back to when he was there in 2015, 74 catches for 825 yards and 6 touchdowns. Now, granted, that was 3 years ago, and Ben Watson is super old, but still had a great season with Drew Brees.
Yeah, I mean, I like Ben Watson, and he was the number 11th tight end last year in PPR. So, I mean, I think this is good for him. I think he establishes his, being that again this upcoming year.
That was one of my questions on the Stranger Stats episode. Where did Ben Watson finish? Yep.
So I guess we can shovel dirt on Kobe Fleener once and for all.
I guess. What did he even do last year?
I mean, Josh Hill down the stretch was getting more snaps almost every game. So, now if it's a three-way tight end timeshare, and, for a team that I don't think uses all that many two tight end sets, I think Fleener is pretty much done as far as fantasy relevance.
I wouldn't be surprised if the guy retires. I mean, didn't he get I feel like he had a lot of concussions, or am I wrong?
Oh, wow. He had one November 26th. That might have been he was placed on IR after that. Yeah, he didn't get a target after week 12. So he was ruled out for week 13, then missed the rest of the season.
Yeah, so Fleener, man, these guys, this is why all this stuff with these head injuries, like I guess maybe it's why with the rule changes, maybe there was an unnumbered amount of concussions last year. I don't know. But
then again, at the same time, this is super not fantasy relevant for Kobe Fleener. So I think we should move on.
Yeah. For sure.
Oh, all right. Yahoo Sports Jordan Schultz stated that he anticipates the Cowboys will release Dez Bryant after the NFL draft. This is kind of big news.
Is it?
Dez, come to the Colts.
Is this big news, Pat? I mean, I feel like a lot of people have been speculating about this, but is this, I don't know if this is news. I feel like a lot of people have been speculating about this for a while, and I don't know.
Yeah, I guess the newsy part of it is that he seems to consider it such a lock. I get the impression that he's got a reliable source on this, although it's not clear. I can't tell. I mean, he didn't say that, but he's just basically making that guarantee. So, who knows if it's going to be the case, but, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, Dez makes a lot of money and
can be
kind of a pain in the ass sometimes. So, although you wonder, I mean, signing Allen Hurns, that doesn't leave him with much at wide receiver.
No.
Dez walks out the door. Hurns, Terrence Williams, Beasley, Switzer. I mean, there's not
a whole lot.
Dontrell Inman is still out there. Dontrell Inman's out there still.
Yeah. Is Bryce Butler still a free agent? They didn't re-sign Butler yet. So if Dez leaves, and they're going to have to draft someone or bring someone else in. And I don't know. I'm not sure how much credence to give that, because it seems like it would be a little late in the game in free agency for them to do that. But wait and see, I guess.
Makes sense, but totally doesn't at the same time.
Exactly.
For what they're doing or what they have.
Moving on here. One of the most exciting teams to start free agency, the Cleveland Browns, just made a very boring move. Traded Cody Kessler to the Jaguars right after they signed Drew Stanton to be the most likely third string after they draft a quarterback in the NFL draft.
Love Drew Stanton. He is the man.
Is he?
Like, cheering people on and stuff.
He's like Matt Flynn.
Yeah.
He just keeps getting paid to be a backup.
He's, this guy's getting his money. He's a good guy to have around, apparently.
The funny thing is, I think if I would have been in some sort of NFL information blackout, like where I only watch college football, never watch the NFL, if you would have asked me, now not having any idea what's gone on in the NFL for the last 7 years or whatever, who would have been the better Michigan State quarterback in the NFL, Stanton or Kirk Cousins? I think I would have said Stanton.
Right.
I thought he was the better Michigan State QB, for whatever that's worth. So you don't want me as your scout or GM, I guess, apparently.
So you're going to stick to the NFL then?
That's right.
All right.
Evaluate them when they get here.
All right. The Giants are listening to trade calls and talks for Odell Beckham Jr. OBJ, he straight up said, I'm not taking another step on the field without a new contract extension. I think it would be smart for them to give him a contract extension, but this, you know, he could go anywhere. There's been rumors about him even going to the Browns. Like Jarvis Landry was trying to entice him there to get that LSU reunion coming back. But Pat, have you heard anything about OBJ here, where he might go, who's been calling the Giants?
I have, and I just heard the Giants say that they're entertaining trade offers, which to me is kind of silly. Like, why? I would just try to sort it out privately with Beckham and his agent as much as possible and just, like, not bother. I don't know what sort of leverage you think you're getting by saying that he's on the market and that, you know, floating rumors that it's going to take two firsts, which, you know, you're probably never going to get. And I don't know. I don't presume to have much in the way of life's wisdom to offer people. But a lot of the times I think you're just better off shutting up than, you know, saying something stupid. I think the Giants are making a mistake by, you know, engaging in this back and forth with Beckham through the media and saying that he's available. I think that's a bad way to handle it.
Well, I mean, at the same time, I feel like, you know, New York is, this is why a lot of players don't like coming here, because the papers and, you know, and like people say things, and I agree with you. I don't think it makes sense for them to go out and say, hey, we're taking offers on them. But I don't think there was anyone that ever said, hey, yes, we're taking offers. You know, like, did they actually say, yes, we're taking offers on them? I think they said, you know, like, well, sure, we'll listen if you blow us away. But I don't think they said, hey, yeah, we're taking offers. I think there's a difference there. You know, I mean, you listen to anything. And it's true. No player could ever be untouchable. If someone says, hey, I'm going to give you three first rounders, not that that's going to happen. But if that happens, I mean, you know, like, why wouldn't you entertain a thing? I really see Odell still being a Giant. And of course, a lot of that is my fandom talking at the same time. But, you know, I also just, I don't know. I feel like it's much ado about nothing.
I agree. I mean, it's probably, you know, just posturing in the end, and he plays opening day for them. But, you know, I guess I don't understand why the Giants would take any sort of stance that could aggravate the impasse. And for what it's worth, I love the guy, man. I know he's a diva, but he is my second ranked receiver. I still got him ahead of Hopkins, because just the touchdown rate that you get with Beckham is insane. I mean, it's almost a touchdown a game, and, you know, no one else does that.
He's pretty amazing. Well, let's move on to some coach speak here before we get to a couple old pieces of news. Bill O'Brien said that Deshaun Watson is ahead of schedule, so that's good. Pete Carroll said that Chris Carson is fully recovered from his broken leg. So I know it's March, and maybe it might be a little early to be considered fully recovered from a broken leg, but still plenty of time, so that's good news. Vance Joseph said, yeah, he should be, absolutely. Vance Joseph said the Broncos have not given up on Paxton Lynch. Why?
I mean, he's still a young quarterback. I mean, you know, I feel like a lot of teams just write quarterbacks off, you know, really soon. And everything's a learning process. You know, everybody learns at different speeds and pace, and, you know, everyone's not going to grasp everything right away. And sometimes, you know, where did they take him? I mean, like, sometimes, you know, you just got to hold on. So maybe he provides something. Maybe they can get a pick for him, something later. You know, so it doesn't hurt for them to try to, you know, pep him up at least by saying, you know, we're not going to throw him in the trash. You know, the guy's still young, and I would imagine they still want him to improve. So it's good coach speak.
This is the opposite of what the Giants did with OBJ.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Shanahan said that Jerick McKinnon is good on all three downs. Note that he did not say he is a three down back. He just said he's good on all three downs.
He is good.
That's good. That's good parsing right there. to see what he didn't say, read in between the lines right there. Nice job, Chris.
That's how I took it. I don't know how much I believe this. Adam Gase said the Dolphins are still high on Devontae Parker. Another why?
Yeah, value. You know how all these hype guys like to do, right? In Miami.
Are you guys both out on Parker for this year?
I've been out on him.
Yeah, I've never really been on him. Yeah. I'm a big Stills guy. I've talked Stills up from, like, you know, as soon as he came over, I liked the, you know, what he was able to do in New Orleans, being he didn't have much opportunity, but just, you know, look at the eyes. And I actually live down in Florida, so I see a fair amount of games. I was able to see it preseason and all this other stuff. So I was really high on preseason stills of past couple seasons, not so much on Parker, just because I just haven't seen it much from him. And, you know, he's obviously going to have an opportunity now, but they also brought in other guys. But he should be their, you know, their number one guy. He's going to have a last chance to prove it. But no, I'm not buying in on him, at least, especially not high. If he's a good value, I'll take him. Love value. Chris knows that. He hates when I say that. Value, value, value.
Yeah, yeah. Every single time. Hoos, would you rather have this guy or this guy? Well, based on values. No, give me a damn answer. But yeah, I've never been high on Devontae Parker. I was not on the hype train 2 years ago. I wasn't on it last year. Never been a big fan. What about you?
You know, I think the talent is there, and it wouldn't surprise me if he got a little fantasy juice with Landry out of the picture, even though I know they've added Albert Wilson and Amendola, so it's not like they, you know, don't have that slot guy anymore. But I think he is a talented dude who could potentially be like a true number one for Miami, but it seems like he is the kind of guy who just cannot produce when he is even a little bit hurt. You know, he seems to get these minor injuries that aren't enough to keep him out, but then he plays and he's just kind of rendered ineffective. I know that seems like it's the book on him, and I guess we're kind of waiting for that to be disproven. I might tentatively dip a toe in the water on Devontae in MFL 10 or two.
Check the temperature.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I do that in any of my, you know, home leagues or the leagues I really, really care about. But, you know, I'm definitely curious. I'm kind of anxious to see what the word is on him out of training camp and how he looks in the first couple preseason games. So a guy to keep an eye on, but definitely a reason to approach with caution, I guess.
Yeah, right. He does get nicked up. 14 games in 2015, 15 games 2016, only played 13 last year. So nothing that's knocked him out for a season, but just these little things that just keep him out for a game here and there.
Yeah, and you'd almost rather he just be scratched than, you know, play at less than 100%, because if he plays through one of these injuries, I mean, it's almost guaranteed he's not going to have a good game.
Well, I guess Miami must be very high on Devontae Parker, because they could have pried away Corey Coleman in you know, in that trade. You know, I feel like they could have got him, and I think Corey Coleman would have had a, you know, probably decent relevance there. You know, it seems like he's going to be the forgotten guy, you know, early now here with, you know, the Madden pieces. So, I think, you know, that would have been a nice piece. Now, obviously, he's not there, but I'm going to have to wait and see with him. Again, you know, if he falls, I'll take him. But, you know, I really got to see it from this guy.
Yeah, the guy has moments for sure. I mean, there are catches he makes where you
know for
wonder
sure
why he is not sure a 90-catch, 1,200-yard guy every year.
Maybe motor or work ethic. You know, I think that's what I question about him the most, I think, as well.
All right, let's get to these last couple pieces of news. This is a little bit old, but it's happened since our last show, so I'll bring it up anyway. Allen Hurns, as mentioned previously today, did sign with Dallas. The Jets agreed to terms with Terrell Pryor, and the Dolphins, as mentioned, signed Frank Gore to a one-year contract and also got Brock Osweiler coming in for his fourth team in 7 years.
Woohoo! Right?
I guess. Would you rather have Osweiler or Cutler? Or is it a wash?
No, why do you have to ask me that kind of question, Chris? I have to choose one of these guys?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Probably Cutler.
You'd rather have Cutler than Osweiler?
Yeah, I guess.
What about you, Pat?
Hey, man. Cutler beat the Patriots in December. I got to go with Cutler on that one. I think we can probably consider the signing of Osweiler, though, the you know, the unofficial sign that Cutler is not coming back to the Dolphins.
I want to talk about some third-year wide receivers, because we all know the third year is when they're supposed to break out, right? You know, like Devontae Parker did last year. but there's two guys here, two third-year receivers who I think are pretty much locks to be top 10, so we don't really need to even go into them. Michael Thomas and Tyreek Hill, both wide receiver ones.
100%.
Wait. Can I object to Tyreek Hill being a wide receiver one?
Nope.
I guess. are you guys sure about that now that Watkins has come over? Like, I do not like the, you know, what that does, what the Sammy Watkins signing does for Tyreek's stock. I mean, I think it's got to cut into his targets a little bit. And, you know, I had my doubts whether Tyreek was capable of being a true wide receiver one last year, and he proved me wrong. So it's really not ability that I'm questioning, but it just scares me now that they've got another receiver who can be almost the same kind of receiver in a way and make big plays down the field. You know, I feel like that signing was really bad for both of these guys. And I think instead of Hill being a one, I think he's a two, and, you know, Watkins is probably a three.
I can see that. Yeah. I mean, that's a fair argument. And I would go out and probably say that Watkins probably helps him more. I just look at what the coach did week 17, and he's, I think, you know, we saw a lot of Albert Wilson, and that's basically what we saw is Tyreek Hill. You know, Tyreek Hill didn't play, you know, but we saw a lot of Albert Wilson. We saw a lot of, you know, what Albert Wilson catch, like 10 passes or something like that. That spells Tyreek Hill in PPR. You know, with the, you know, did he catch it? No, I don't think he had caught any touchdowns, but yeah, like 20 points in PPR. You know, I think that kind of emulates more what we're going to continue to see next year. Now, again, it's still very early, but, you know, that's not far off. So that's, you know, so where are you projecting him, Pat? Like a more, like a middle, you know, wide receiver two? Or, cause, I mean, he finished eight last year, and this is with guys being injured, right? You know, guys that we probably thought that was going to push up there that might, you know, be there next year. I still see him hovering in that area. And if he does drop off, maybe around 13, 14.
Yeah. So I did have him as a back end wide receiver one until that signing.
I see.
And when the signing happened, now I've got him down at wide receiver 20 in redraft.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, so yeah, I mean, you guys are not going to like some of the, if you're convinced he's still a wide receiver one, you're not going to like some of these guys just ahead of him. Demaryius Thomas.
Oh, I like actually Demaryius Thomas. Yeah, I love that.
But more than Hill?
Yeah, Thomas. Yeah, with the yeah, he's definitely a one. I feel like at this point with Keenum. I mean,
yeah, both of the Vikings, Dez Bryant, Alshon Jeffrey, even Amari Cooper now.
Cooper,
you know, I would like to do a draft with you, Pat, because I feel like you would never take my players.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get Hill in many drafts. I know, because I think some people are going to be, you know, still thinking of him as a wide receiver one. I guess I just don't now that this Watkins move has been made. You know, Kelsey's still there, and it's not even that I'm worried about the quarterback thing. Like, I'm not at all. I think Mahomes is going to be good. I think he's going to be, you know, 96% of what Alex Smith was last year. And so I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about this, the presence of Watkins and what that might mean with the target share on Hill.
Let me talk about Watkins here. So if, are you a guy who does stat projections, or are you more of a, I rank guys based on other factors?
I mean, it's both. I will do stat projections, you know, as we get into August, but yeah. I don't do rankings based on the stat projections.
Okay.
Cause I like to have a range, and, you know, I like to account for upside. And
well, I just want to ask you this. So Sammy Watkins this year on the Chiefs, more or less than 40 catches?
Oh, more.
More? Okay.
Yeah.
550 yards?
More.
More? Three touchdowns?
More.
Okay. That backs up what you were saying. Those were Albert Wilson stats last year. So
yeah, definitely. No, he'll do more
better
than that.
Albert Wilson. I think he'll easily do better than Albert. I think, you know, you got, it's a different quarterback. So I think this is more catered to the quarterback. I think they went out and got, you know, Watkins for the QB. So he's set up for success right here. I know dynasty owners must love it. I don't think you're too far off. I don't see him being a value on draft day. So I can get with you there.
His current ADP for those people who are diehards right now is the 302 in 12 team PPRs.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Wow, that's rich.
It's a little early. A little early. Anyways, let's talk about some of these other guys. So we were talking about the Giants earlier, might be trading Odell Beckham, or at least they have said they're entertaining the idea. Sterling Shepard across from OBJ.
My boy.
How do you feel about him this year? Do you think he's going to finish top 30?
Who's your Giants fan? I'll defer to you on this one. I'll chime in after you're done.
I think he's going to be forced to play that, you know, number three role. The tight end's going to be number two. Odell's going to be number one. And Shepard, he's going to see a decent amount of targets. And he was right there hovering around a wide receiver three last year. I'm going to project him to be a wide receiver three as well. I don't see him, you know, getting a wide receiver two territory. But I could see him, you know, floating around 26 to 30.
So, I mean, I think that's well within the range of outcomes. I think, let's see, right now I got him 38, which, you know, just out of three territory. But, you know, I think that OBJ and Ingram are going to, you know, limit his looks a little bit. And, you know, he's shown that he can be really productive on the looks he gets. But he has, I think, done some of his best work when OBJ has been out. And, you know, the emergence of Ingram, I think, last year might not bode that well for him, just because Ingram, you know, really took off, I think, after OBJ got hurt. Right. So we haven't seen, like, peak Ingram and OBJ together yet. And I think it's going to be really hard for a third guy to come in and get, like, you know, fantasy starter caliber numbers there. Like, Shepard as a player has really grown on me, but, you know, I'm always keeping an eye on target competition on a roster. And, you know, even if I like a guy like Tyreek, you know, if the numbers don't bear out that a guy can, you know, be what he has been just because of, you know, new target competition, you know, then I got to dock him a little bit.
Yeah, and I just feel like based off of, you know, the coach, you know, I think, you know, Shermer's shown that he's can support too. I mean, Diggs was, you know, finished, what, 19? Now, I'm not saying he's going to finish, you know, Diggs, you know, territory. I think Stephon Diggs is a better player. But, you know, Stephon Diggs entered year three last year, I believe, right? So, you know, he had his breakout. And I wouldn't be too surprised to see Sterling Shepard. Where I have him right now, I think that's fair. I wouldn't be surprised to see him break into the two range at moments during the season, and if he can finish, you know, kind of close to it.
Yeah. One more thought on this. I mean, it's going to be really interesting if Saquon Barkley does go to the Giants, because this guy is
he's going to
transcendent pass catching. Yeah, right. And he's I think he's even better as a pass catcher than he is as a runner. You know, so if you've got like a David Johnson Giants,
that changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, God, I might be in on Eli if that happens. You know, Eli might be the most underrated quarterback there is if Barkley goes to the Giants. It's going to be crazy.
All right, well, let's talk about a couple other guys here. Let's move to Robbie Anderson. So we haven't really heard much from him since that, what, like 10 different misdemeanor counts against him for his arrest and everything. Now, in Dynasty, I still think Robbie Anderson is great. 2-game suspension or a 4-game suspension, 1 season, I don't really care about that in Dynasty. But redraft, this is obviously a big deal. So coming into his third year, where would you put him once he comes back? Is he a wide receiver one once he comes back?
Oh, for the Jets or for fantasy? I mean, I don't think
for fantasy.
For the Jets, absolutely. For fantasy, once back. So I guess factoring in the suspension, I've got him like in the 40s right now.
Yeah, and
so
I mean, it, like week five on.
All right, like in the third, I think like wide receiver three, like a guy who you would happily flex most weeks. I think if he's playing, I guess. I think there is some off the field concern and, you know, suspension baked into my current ranking of him as 46, and that probably goes up at least 10 spots. You know, maybe more like 15 spots. If he's just good to go, healthy, playing, you know, he's probably top 30 or just out of the top 30.
Yeah, I like it. We actually had him on our roster in the Scott Fishbowl last year. We had a sleeper wire team. And I think you were during the draft, you talked everybody into picking him.
Yeah, you hated
and
him.
He was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that is a money pick.
Yeah.
That's that's really nice. He was your version of my Robert Woods, I think, where you just kind of like, you know, hit a guy you didn't think was going to hit. And yeah, that was nice. That was
really big on him the year prior, just because I watched, you know, some of his film in the offseason. I like to, you know, watch, you know, guys a little bit more that, you know, I think I like. And just, you know, just the way he could contort his body, just the way he caught the ball and landed, you know, and just found his way to pick up a few more yards. I just like him. And, you know, I was really, really, I mean, if you had him in like week 12, you know, 2 touchdowns, 32 points. And he, even aside from that, he was just pretty much, you know, I think Chris asked, you know, is he a wide receiver one? Because he was.
He was,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
He legit was, you know, for midway through the season, he was. Like, you couldn't get him in a trade, you know, unless you were giving up Julio Jones, who was having a bad season, you know, having a bad, you know, a bad year. So, like, all right, dude, I give you Julio for him. And you're like, no. I'll keep Robbie Anderson. You know, like, he was that good at the stretches of the season.
Yeah. There was a league where I picked him up at just the right time before he blew up, and it was amazing how reliable he was on a week-in, week-out basis. And, you know, like, you obviously remember how he had been late the season before when he actually managed to make Bryce Petty look good.
Exactly.
You can do that.
Right, exactly. And that was my argument for him.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that more people didn't get on that, him making Bryce Petty look good. I mean, that was.
I mean, he's getting 16 targets a game and only catching 4 of them.
Yeah. And I think we do a great debates episode, and he might have been on one of our great debates, which is where we argue for and against players. Chris came up with it, and I think Robbie Anderson was one of them, and I'm pretty sure that was one of Chris's sticky points. He was like, well, he has a, you know, so many targets, you know, he's bound to catch 4.
It was our Halloween episode last year. We did Juju versus Robbie Anderson because both were available in more than 50% of leagues.
Oh wow.
So yeah, that was a really good one.
Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah,
it's a good show. Yeah. All right, one last guy here. Just want to bring up real quick. Are we going to see Kevin White play this year? He's still first on the depth chart.
Oh, man. So, yeah, there's optimism. I feel like he's just one of these guys whose body is just not built for the NFL.
I want to believe in him so much.
Yeah, same here. I guess the reason I would maybe warn people off him, even if he makes it through the preseason unscathed, is that just when he has played, he has been a, you know, short area receiver, low yards per catch. You know, there have been times when he's gotten a pretty decent target share, but like it's all been around the line of scrimmage. Like, you know, when they drafted this guy, like I thought he just looked like an Adonis on draft night. And, you know, just a big body, you know, melted stopwatches when he ran the 40 in the draft process. And you figured he was just going to be this big play guy getting down the field, you know, explosiveness. And we have not seen any of that even when he's been healthy. So I guess that's why I'm not too optimistic.
Do your rankings even go down far enough to have Kevin White in?
Oh, yeah. He's okay. He's definitely – let's see where he is.
Top 70.
He's a real player, Chris, just not a real fantasy player, okay? He's a real person. He's not a real fantasy player.
I'm missing him. Oh, my God. 100 even right
now.
Wow. But this includes rookies, and I think right now I've got him behind 2 rookies. I've got him behind Anthony Miller and Auden Tate.
Man, that's deep.
So yeah, I'm not optimistic in the least.
Sorry, Nick.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and move into some quarterback rankings, because as I said before, we have the number 2 in-season analyst from 2017 when it comes to your in-season rankings. So I took a look at your quarterback rankings earlier today, and your top 10 are basically the standard top 10. But I want to ask you a couple questions here. Andrew Luck at 19. Can I assume that's going to move up if we know he's going to play?
Yeah. I mean, if he is good to go, this definitely is. I guess I try to make these rankings with the MFL 10 drafter in mind. So guys who are playing MFL 10s, right. I mean, that definitely bakes in the injury risk with Luck.
Cause, right.
You know, we need to see this guy on the field, obviously.
Yep, 100%.
But Garoppolo and Goff, both quarterback ones, is 11 and 12.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the guys I've got behind him and, you know, there are cases that you could move some of these guys past him. Phillip Rivers, Dak Prescott, Marcus.
Yeah, that's
Mariota.
What I was going to bring up. Both of those guys I would put at the 10 and the 11 and 12 over Garoppolo and Goff, personally.
Yeah, I might be fading Rivers a little too much. I mean, he's kind of, for whatever reason, he's kind of run out of gas at the end of the season the last couple of years. And you just wonder, as that team really starts to look like a potential powerhouse. I mean, I think the Chargers are loaded this year, and I'll kind of be surprised if they don't walk away with that division. I mean, I think they're way better than anyone else in that division this year, including the Broncos, who I think have sneaky train wreck potential this year. So if they are, in fact, a really good team, Rivers' passing volume could come down. And I guess that's kind of one of the things I try to look at. Like 2 years ago, Dak Prescott averaged fewer pass attempts per game than Roger Staubach did in his final year as the Cowboys starter back in like the early 80s or whenever that was. And you just knew that was going to come up because the Cowboys had the season go so perfectly for them 2 years ago, and they were just, you know, able to run the ball and really kill the clock with Zeke Elliott. And Dak's passing volume was destined to tick up. I think that's kind of the same way with Drew Brees. I mean, last year, things went so well for the Saints. The running game was hitting on all cylinders, and Drew Brees was able to be a game manager. You know, he'd never been that in his career before. And I just kind of think that with teams, you know, water sort of finds its own level. Maybe the Saints have worse injury luck this year. Things don't go quite as well. Maybe Brees has to shift back into playmaker mode. So, you know, I've seen a lot of rankings where Brees is like the QB7 or QB8. I've got him up at QB5. So anyway, I guess I'm just trying to explain why I have Rivers right. maybe a little lower. That's a really long-winded way of saying that. Now, but I am pretty high on both Goff and Garoppolo.
That addition of Mike Pouncey helps Rivers as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For sure. Oh. And, you know, I think it's going to help the running game, too. I mean, I love Melvin Gordon this year. But, yeah, I mean, are you guys with me on Garoppolo and Goff? Are you
thinking I am on I'm very high on Garoppolo. Goff, I feel, can, you know, he's going to interchange. And I think, look, we all look at these quarterback ones. The difference between, like, what, quarterback 12 and the quarterback 16 or 17 is like a point and a half, you know, on average.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, you know, I mean, all these guys can interchange fairly. So I think if you have a guy in 12, anywhere from 12 to, like, maybe 16, I think you could kind of interchange all of these guys. You know, Matt Ryan might enter back in there, you know, who knows? He was 15 last year. He could have a bounce back, you know, so I mean, it's a lot of guys that, you know, that can interchange. I do like Goff a lot. I'm higher on Garoppolo. I think he has a chance to be a top, you know, top six.
I would move Jack and Rivers up into the top 10, maybe bump those guys down a couple spots.
I don't really like Dak as much, you know, watching him in second year. I feel like he's got to, you know, bounce back. And this is why I'm not as high on Watson for some reason coming in season, just because, you know, we see quarterbacks do great, you know, their first year, and then sometimes we don't see them do the same, you know, the following year. So, yeah, Dak still ended up being, you know, a quarterback one. He was 11. But maybe not the way I think everyone is envisioning Watson to be, you know, this guy that you're grabbing in the second, third round. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's way too early. Just so you guys are caught up, quarterback rankings from Pat. We have Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Carson Wentz at 6, Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford, Ben Roethlisberger, Garoppolo, Goff, Mariota, Prescott, Rivers. There's your top 15 right there.
Yeah, like Hoos was saying, with you know, the small gap between Goff at 12 and you said like 16, I think it could even be – I've got Matt Ryan down at 18, but like if someone wanted to tell me that Matt Ryan should be ahead of Goff, like I couldn't right. put up that big an argument. Like,
right.
That
is a really
that is a tight tier. Goff, Mariota, Prescott, Rivers, Winston. I got Mahomes up at 17, and then Matt Ryan, and then Luck has to go somewhere in there, if not higher.
Right, of course.
We see him on the field, so I guess it's the old wait on quarterback advice, because you know it goes pretty deep. You don't start getting sweaty palms until maybe 21, 22, where it gets into Carr and Bortles and guys of that ilk. So, you know, it's still a deep position.
Well, there you go, guys. Certainly. You heard it here first. And from top two, if it wasn't only for that guy, Sean, he always just, he's like a machine. He's got to stop doing what he does because then Pat would just be number one all the time.
Sean Kerner, the three-time champion. That's just, he's amazing. We're all playing for second. So I feel like I won last year.
Yeah, so you really won.
Second.
Yeah, we
pretty much.
See, that's what the other Sleeper Wire guys do in our fantasy league. They're all playing for second because I win. So, yeah.
Nice curse.
I had to throw my victory in there real quick.
You get that, champ. You get that.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, that is going to wrap it up for today's show. Thank you, Pat Fitzmaurice, so much for coming on. Why don't you tell our lovely listeners where they can find you and follow you once again?
Yeah, my stuff is on thefootballgirl.com, and my Twitter handle is Fitz_FF. And Chris and Hoos, I just want to thank you guys for having me. You know, I love listening to fantasy podcasts, and, you know, I'm always looking for new ones, and I was not familiar with you guys when you reached out and asked me if I would be on the show. I went and caught up with you guys, and you guys do great work. I really enjoy the show. I hope I can be on with you guys again soon.
Yeah,
we'll see you next week.
I mean, it's all in the great. Yeah. as you may have seen on our website, you know, we do it for a super great cause, as Chris will probably tell us all shortly.
And Hoos was right. You can learn all about our cause at sleeperwire.com. I'll let you guys go there and read through it on your own. You can follow us on Twitter at sleeperwireshow. Hoos is on there at sleeperwirehoos. I'm on there at CMORsleeperwire. You can also find us on Sleeperbot at Prophet Hoos and Professor Chris, and the Fantasy Life at Hoos the Prophet and Professor Chris as well. Hoos, Pat, thank you so much for joining me today. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.
Next time.